Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic, where we get to know the people behind the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm singer-songwriter and indie filmmaker Marcia Novelli.
This week we're joined by New York-based singer-songwriter Rachel Yamagata. To date, she's released 4 solo EPs and 3 full-length albums, and she's collaborated with artists such as Jason Mraz, Ryan Adams, Bright Eyes, and past guest Tara Naomi. Her music's also been featured in shows such as The OC, Brothers and Sisters, Grey's Anatomy, and How I Met Your Mother.
Rachel has seen both sides of the major and independent spectrum and is currently gearing up to release her latest album, Tightrope Walker, independently. We're looking forward to hearing more about her experiences and what advice she has for her fellow musicians. Hey, Rachel!
Hey! Hi, guys. How are you?
Oh, I did that. I waved my arms around. I feel like a child. It's okay. See, you all did it. I feel good now.
It's all good.
Oh my gosh, I always start these interviews off so awkwardly, so that's why I ask you immediately to tell us 3 things about yourself that everyone should know.
Yes, I am an eternal optimist. I always look on the bright side of things. I'm a real handy girl. Like, if you got something that needs, like, you know, a hammer and a nail or a plunger or whatever, saw, I'm your girl. And then, what was the third thing? I believe in synchronicities a lot. So I feel like if you put it out into the universe, things start to happen and get in a flow. And it's a really important principle that I seem to go by. And a lot of what I write about is touched by that kind of thing. So those are my 3.
I love that. Ross and I, we've seen a lot of that even on the show, just kind of how it feels sometimes like things are meant to happen. But I'm always kind of I'm always a tightrope walker, feeling like, you know, our brains like to find patterns and things. But at the same time, sometimes things just seem too, it's like, you know, you can't even, it's like, how did, no, if this didn't happen, that wouldn't have happened. It's just like, no. That was so articulate. Wasn't that beautiful? How I articulated
that was great.
Didn't articulate?
You're a wordsmith.
And I'm a lyricist. How did that happen?
I know, right?
It's one of those things. If I can sit down on a paper, there it comes out. If I'm speaking in real life, blah, 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 that's pretty
much it. Same here. It's like you need the melody and the chord progression to help you. Like, I have trouble when I go to CVS. I literally can't talk to people, and I'm a complete hermit. So any kind of, like, normal speak is very odd for me, and people just sort of stare at me in a funny way. And then with music, it's like, you know, it all comes out. It's like,
yeah, well, because you have the time to really sit down calmly, think about it without distraction, right?
Yeah.
So Rachel, you may not know this, but I have been a fan of yours for quite a while. I remember being at college, actually, and one of the guys in my class, he was like, oh, I'm totally into, like, you know, screamo and stuff like this. He's like, you know, but sometimes all I like to do is I like to sit down, I like to put some candles on and just listen to Rachel Yamagata. And I was like, you've heard of Rachel Yamagata? And I was like, this is a new friendship going. So anyway, that's just a bit of a side,
note. I love that. Oh, I love the softer side of, especially guys. It's like a big thing when you know, people feel vulnerable enough to admit that they, you know, have a bottle of wine and my CD and cry their eyes out every now and then. Like, it's, I love that. So
that's
thank
a good
you.
Feeling.
Very fun.
So, that was just kind of a bit of a side note. That's kind of one of my earliest memories relating to your music. But experienced both being a major label artist and an independent artist. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe give us some of the pros and cons of each and tell us a little bit about how things have changed since you've become independent and done things yourself?
Sure. Well, I got signed, I think it was like 2000, 2001. I think that's when my first EP came out. And that was definitely the big days of, like, big contracts and huge press push. I think that I was really fortunate because I got that big push and I had the radio single and, you know, we did a lot of press and there was a huge team. And so for me, I was very fortunate to get on the map with that machine behind me. I was on RCA at first, then I went to Warner Brothers, then I went independent in 2010, I think. And you know, the times are definitely changing. A lot of artists are finding that they have to do it themselves. Record sales are not supplying the money for an artist to live. Touring is a very competitive right now. Every band in the world wants to get into the venues, so they're booking much further in advance, at least in my experience. And so there's a lot of hurdles that are people are trying to overcome. But what's great about being independent is that I got this bird's eye view of my career that I had never had before, and I started learning about budgeting and networking and, you know, social media, and the internet have opened up this incredible marketing opportunity. And, you know, something that before you needed this big machine to handle and run. And now you can have such a direct relationship with your fans, and that third wall is down. And, so to be able to kind of creatively navigate those waters has been really interesting, because I think a lot of artists know their fans well, perhaps more than, you know, what a company knows, you know, not in all cases, but for me, it's been working well. But it's a 24-hour day job. I mean, Marcio, you probably know this as an independent artist. It's a full-time endeavor, and it's
exhausting. And sometimes you wonder, where's the time to actually be the artist? So besides the fact that your voice is so fucking cool, it really is. In fact,
I actually said earlier that it was very sexy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Yes.
Thanks so much.
So there you go.
Way to make things really uncomfortable.
I know, right?
Thanks so much.
No, she's feeling great.
I love
it. Besides that, and obviously your ridiculously really cool music, and I meant to say ridiculously cool music, and it sounded like I said ridiculous and cool music.
Ridiculous.
Besides all that, another reason I was really excited to talk to you today is because you're very involved in your music, and this is something that excites me, because I think every artist, especially singer-songwriter, should just be so involved in their art. Not only do you co-produce your albums, but you also co-direct your own music videos, or at least you did your latest music video, and you edited it, which is something I always pride myself on, co-directing, editing, and co-producing all that fun stuff. And it is phenomenal. It is a beautiful, gorgeous music video. And so co-producing your album and, you know, co-directing your music videos is a very involved process. It really puts your creative intentions at the forefront, rather than, you know, letting someone else, like, especially you coming from a major label background, letting someone else kind of shape you in a way that maybe doesn't show who you are. But at the same time, it seems like you are open to other people's creativity as well, without, you know, but you're splitting it, you know, you're allowing someone else in, but you're not saying, here, take complete control, which I think is important. Sorry, very, very long-winded description of why I'm excited to talk to you today. So I wanted to ask, what would be the most challenging aspect of co-producing your album and co-directing your own music video? I guess it's a two-parter question. And what have you learned by being so involved in the process?
First off, I believe in collaboration. Like, I love it. I'm somebody who I really like to work off other people's ideas, but I'm also extremely type A and have to make sure I don't micromanage. If I don't like something, I know I don't like it, and I probably can't be convinced otherwise, but it might take me a while to get to that place to make the decision. But, so I think being that involved, it's challenging to stay objective when it's your own work, you have to give yourself space away to be able to take constructive criticism and great ideas that maybe you don't agree with initially, and somehow find the kernels of truth in there that could be brilliant things, that you have to be open. So I think the greatest challenge for me is remaining creatively in it and yet being objective enough to assess it on a different level that can be very helpful and shape the creativity in a positive way. You know, with the record, this is the first record where I could really take on the title of co-producer, which is why, you know, every artist is co-producing their record inherently, but this is the first one where, you know, I called most of the people involved. I set up the house with Pete, who you saw before, and we made it into a studio. I, you know, worked through the songs without other people sort of structuring, edit it here, do this or that. And then I brought in my longtime producer, John Alasia, halfway through, and he really helped to clean everything, edit, rework, sort of craft this stuff that we had done and made that was really on a new track that I loved, but we needed refinement, and he really contributed in a great way. And we have such a amazing, longstanding working relationship. So that was really helpful. But that was new territory for me. And I'm a big believer of you just dive in and you figure it out as you go. And whether it's being, you know, releasing a record or making a record or running a pledge campaign or whatever it is, like, rely on the kindness of others to help you get through and search for your mentors. And I think, as I believe that the universe will they'll put little signposts of aid up for you to like grab onto, and you have to be open to that. And you know, the video was, that was another thing where I was saying that sort of, what, I don't even remember the catchphrase we were talking about. Knowledge.
Yeah, it's something like knowledge is bred from necessity.
Yeah,
is that right?
That's a good one. There we go. Something
great,
like that.
Great quote, Ross. You made that up yourself, right?
Good job, Ross.
Thanks,
I love
guys.
That.
Yeah.
I had my friends, my Philadelphia friends, Michelle Ramon and Kate Carbone. They're two great buddies. Michelle is this an amazing choreographer and has a studio she works out of called Shea Dance. And Bianca Gatto and Michelle Sassy, these three great choreographers. I'd always wanted to work with them. They'd done stuff for my music before. And my great friend Kate, who runs a production company in Philly, I called them and I was like, I want to do a music video. How do we do this? Can we work together? And they really helped facilitate the production and the dancers and got all the people we needed. And then this was the first time where I didn't realize that the director is somebody different from the person actually shooting the video. And I've done videos before. It's been a while. I don't know why it didn't occur to me. So that's how I ended up directing, is because I was like, oh my God, we need a director, and it's not the DP who's shooting the video. So that led to me coming into taking on the new role of director, which I had, you know, no previous experience in. And editing was because the editors that we had lined up, there were schedule conflicts. So I was like, well, I'll download Final Cut Pro and I'll figure out how to do this. And Rocco Avalone, I think I'm saying his name right, he really co-edited it with me. But I sat through and looked through 10 hours of footage and matched it up. But, you know, the long-windedness of my answer is really, you know, part of taking over your career and being in the dirt and the you know, the tangible stuff that you have to do every day in all aspects is a really great education for how to make smarter decisions and utilize resources that maybe in a new creative way, because it's not about huge funding anymore. It's not about any traditional marketing plan. You have to think out of the box. And I talk.
It's the idea of you remaining complete creative control, but then bringing someone else in with you to have the objectivity that is completely impossible to have of your own art as an artist. You know, so that's where the balance comes in, and I love it. You know, I think that sometimes it can be very dangerous to allow someone else complete creative control, and sometimes it can be very dangerous to have 100% complete creative control. And, yeah, you know, I think the balance is, I mean, at least for me, and it seems like for you as well, it's where the perfect kind of marriage happens between the two worlds.
Yeah.
You know, But that doesn't mean you might not step out of that, and you maybe one day you just say, no, it's completely me that wants to do something, and you know, so there's no right or wrong, obviously.
I think it's fun to try both, you know, yeah. Like do something where you're just singing, or true. Do something where you have to figure out how to, you know, put a song together, test yourself, see what what you can do. And, you know, part of the things that I think I have gotten good at over the years is selecting the right team and finding the right people to be in the room or on stage or, you know what you can't do, you know, like, especially in
that a lesson?
Yeah.
Right there for any creative to pick your team and pick it very, intelligently, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut off your creative flow there. It just you hit me with that. You know, it's.
I love that. I think that's hugely, hugely important. Like, you guys work well off each other, and it probably took a lot to get the podcast up and running. You know what I mean? But it's nice to have
even just today.
Get the tech savvy. Well, I have a guy who runs my tech world, and it has been, you know, he does a million things, and he's much more beyond that, and he's part of my management team, and that I was trying to handle all by myself for years. And I met him because I took a class, and he was my professor. And thankfully, you know, he's a master in that world, and has taken a lot off my plate in terms of you know, anything to do with like tech stuff, of like learning any of this. But also, he's great with social media and fans and marketing, and, you know, his name's Chandler Coyle. I gotta say Chandler Coyle. But finding those key people can really change your life in terms of structuring your time and being able to do art as well as business.
Which is something that I actually want to ask you about. You know, speaking of building your team, you know, how do you kind of find that work-life balance, you know, especially as an independent self-managed musician? You know, how do you maintain a balance between your life outside music and your, you know, your working life?
You know, there's such a blend. You know, the good thing about this is that I love it. So even if I'm working at it, especially when I'm writing or recording, the time, you know, it just goes by, and you don't care. You get lost in the world of creativity, which is amazing. Balancing the business stuff is tricky, and I have to protect certain things. Like, I have to protect my space and protect my emotional reserve of what I have to give to other people, so that I'm rested enough to be creative. I tend to work a lot in the mornings, and that's when I'm very, I guess, on target and very productive. And then I start to fade as the day goes on. And, you know, I don't push it to the point of exhaustion.
So I need advice from you. I have two little ones as well, and a wife, and I mean, finding the balance between family life and just time for yourself, and being an artist, not doing everything except making art, like we talked about before, everything else that goes along with being an independent artist.
I don't know how you do it with a family. Like, that's I marvel at that. Kudos to you. Like, what do you got, Ross? You got that dog. What else you got?
I have a dog, a cat, and a husband.
That's all.
There you go. So you got a family too.
I was going to say, the fact that he said your voice is sexy, that's an extra big compliment.
I love that. Sweet. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. It's time management. Time is a precious thing. And it goes by faster and faster, and you really have to figure out how to use it well. That's a huge thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. So,
for sure.
There's that.
I wanted to quickly jump in and ask, because we've been talking about building your team. I was just wondering if, you know, the collaborations that you've done with other artists, like when you've guested on people's records and things.
Jason Mraz, Ryan Adams, Bright Eyes, and our friend Tara Naomi.
Yeah.
I would just wonder if any of those kind of collaborations have really helped kind of shape your idea of building the team, and if any of them have been particularly educational to you.
You know what I love is watching how other artists do exactly what we're talking about. Like, how do they find time for themselves? What's their writing process? What does their space look like? When I worked with Jason Mraz and we did some writing together and I went to his house, and it's very peaceful and it's very creative, and he's really diligent about writing songs during the week and then reviewing them at the end of the week. And he's very organized about them, or at least from what I witnessed. And that was interesting to me. You know, I've paper napkins all over the place and, like, you know, put tapes and CDs and, you know, files, they're all over the house. So even just witnessing sort of that organization, Dan Wilson is also incredibly organized and knows how to sort of catalog his work so that it doesn't get lost in the shuffle. And I thought that was really, really great. And, you know, one of my first tours was with Liz Phair, and she had her kid, I think, was like 3 or 4 when she was on tour. And watching her sort of manage her band and the press and her family all on the road, that taught me a lot about sort of those skills of how to multitask in that way. And I think you can learn a lot from other artists and how they do it. And just by having conversations about what do you look for in a manager, if you're going to have a manager or a label or what, a distributor, whatever it is, like asking around, I think always helps you learn just from the nature that your colleagues are also doing it. You know, for me, it's integrity, like find people with total 100% great integrity, and who can be accountable and, of course have talent and skill and creative ideas of their own. Like, but you want the good heart, you know, you want somebody to be around that makes the world a better place. I think so.
Wow. We're really getting to know who you really are. You know, it's really beautiful.
You know nothing.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Lies.
So we want to keep learning about you and in a bit more of a fun way. Are you ready for 20 questions?
Oh, God. Okay, I'm ready.
All right, let's do this. Coffee or tea?
I'm sipping my coffee right now.
All right, coffee as well today, though. It used to be tea, but my wife has brought me to the dark side.
Coffee too. Meat or veggies?
I like them both on the same plate. I know you guys are, but I don't.
What are you talking about? Am I wearing a shirt that says vegan or something?
No, you might be because you're wearing a. I did go vegetarian for a bit, and then I got run down in Utah by a bull. And then that night, I had a hamburger, and I feel terrible about it. I know. I'm sorry.
I don't even laugh at that.
That was the night, but
not I, you know what I mean.
You can bring me back. You can bring me back. We'll talk later.
All right. Yeah. TV or Netflix?
Netflix.
Twitter or Facebook?
How can I choose? I like, you know what? I'm getting into Instagram, I gotta say. So all three plus more. Snapchat, I haven't tried. Too scared for that. Maybe I'll try that.
New York or Virginia?
Well, New York is my history, my family. Virginia's where my brother lives with all of my nieces and nephews. And so again, a tie. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of them. And if I don't say Virginia, then I feel like I just, you know, I'm not gonna be able to come visit. So a tie.
Studio or stage?
We hit you with the hard questions here.
I know, these are hard. Studio, I love because I'm a hermit, and if I never had to leave the house, that would be my choice. Stage, I have stage fright, so that's a tricky one for me. But when you hit that zone of connecting with people, there's nothing like it in the world. So if I could, I should just make a stage in the studio and start performing here, and that's the only time I perform, and then I... Problem solved. Thank you.
Perfect.
Got it.
Done.
Yep.
Done.
Got it.
education or experience?
I think they're the same to me. You need both. One equals the other. Yeah.
30 Rock or Parks and Recreation?
Well, I got to give props to 30 Rock. I got to be on it and they were amazing. So
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
I did. I have a cameo.
Oh, I'll have to go check that out. That's awesome.
Yep. Standing right next to Moby and right in front of Michael McDonald. It was a huge episode with amazing artists.
The kidney.
It was surreal. He needs a kidney, I think was the song. So I gotta say 30 Rock there. Yep.
Indie or major?
I gotta say I'm not one of the people who hates the majors. I had an amazing experience on them and with them. And indie, it's doing the same. I think, authentic self, that's how I'll answer. That sort of fuels everything, no matter what, you know, team you have around you. Just be your authentic self and then make either one work for you.
Good and bad people everywhere, basically.
Yeah. You know, everyone's got a story about it working or not working for them. So,
yeah. Talent or attitude?
Attitude can get you... Fake it till you make it is a great thing to it just spurs you on. But you need the talent. You guys are giving me really hard ones. I've watched your things before and they weren't this hard. I'm just saying.
Canada or Scotland?
Oh God.
I'm just up here, not far
up. I know.
You have to pick.
I can't. Well, I feel like now that we went through our vegan meat eater stuff, you're not going to give me a fair shot anyway. So I got to
pick Scotland.
That's
not true. That's not true.
No, or maybe. No, Canada, I don't know. We play Canada more often than Scotland, but we hope to play Scotland. So you guys are both super, super sweet and nice.
Ryan Adams or Brian Adams?
Oh, goodness.
See what we did there? Well, that's America versus Canada right there.
That was good. I got to go with Ryan. He's a super creative force. I think he's a musical genius.
Rachel, noodles or poodles?
noodles. I like poodles, but you can't eat them.
Batman or Superman?
Oh, Catwoman.
Oh, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. That. Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton with Power Grab? I've done this for about 100 episodes, by the way.
I
think it's time to retire him.
I think Michael Jackson is, how can you not say Michael Jackson? But I will tell you that before I was in music, I did maybe write in my diary to some Michael Bolton songs on the back patio in a gazebo and hope one day I'd have a boyfriend. So... But I will pick Michael Jackson for the creative musicality.
I think Ross did the same thing with Michael Bolton.
Really?
Yeah, except I was writing love letters to Michael Bolton, but that's a whole other story. No, I'm kidding. I didn't do that.
Good. That was really good.
So moving on, Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead?
Game of Thrones. I'm hooked.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
I think Marilyn Manson's really smart. I don't even remember what I was, and I'm sure Celine is too, but I remember seeing some sort of, I don't know if, whether it was a documentary or an interview or something, and really
pulling
feeling...
Pulling for Columbine?
It might have been. I just remember seeing him speak and thinking how articulate and insightful he was, and being fascinated about his... sort of artistic persona in tandem with what I was watching at the time. So I'm going to say him, but my heart will go on at the same time. So it's a hard one. It's a hard one, you guys.
Well, this one may be pretty hard too.
Okay.
Whale or kale?
I have to say whale, because I got a strange sign from a whale once.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
I love Bette Midler. I think she's phenomenal. I have to say Bette all the way. Yeah.
And your final, most important, heartbreaking question.
Yes.
And you may know what's coming up. Ross or Marcio?
How can I choose?
You could pick the other independent artist in the room here who... sure, Ross has been a fan since college, whatever.
No, I know. I'm divided. I'm going to forever think of you two as one, so...
You know what?
The one of you.
If only more guests did this, then Ross and I wouldn't have this underlying, you know, feud that no one knows we have. No, I'm just joking.
Do you keep a tally? You do.
We haven't, but I just know Ross has gotten about 75% of them.
Oh, no.
I'll take this as a win. I will take this as a win, okay?
I'm the me that I have is for you as the one.
Aw. Something. Whatever that means. Oh my gosh, Rachel, you are awesome. Seriously, where can people, what's the best place for people to connect with you online? What are you most active on social media wise?
I'm good on, what am I good on? Twitter, and I've started doing Facebook Live stuff, which is great. And then Twitter, I'm trying to get better. If you want to connect with me, like super, super personally, then you should just come to
good.
Come
to a show.
I know.
Just knock on my door. We'll hang out.
Just knock on my door. You know what? Show is probably the best way for direct, like, because I love sort
of course, but
you know,
online,
hanging with fans. Online, go to my website, rachyamagata.com. We're just refreshing it and revising it. We have a new Chandler is now handling all of my sort of the direct requests that come in. So we're just starting to respond to different stories. I mean, people write the most fabulous things of, I don't know, just life stuff. And so we're reading those and responding to those. But definitely Twitter and Facebook if you want sort of that instant comment back, that kind of thing. I'm bullshitting myself. I'm not very good at the instant stuff. So I'm trying my best. Did I answer this at all?
That's all. You know what?
Like a terrible answer.
Basically, people can go add you on your social media.
You can't get to me. I'm a hermit. You cannot get to me. You will never find me. No, you will find me. You found me. How'd you find me? Chandler found you.
Well, we are easy to find. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, and YouTube. Just search for Bridge the Atlantic. Come and say hey, share your stories with us. We want to hear from you. You know, just do it.
Cool.
Just do it. As for me, I'm working on my second solo album, and you can be a part of it at marcinavelli.com/pledge. You can get my debut solo album right here whenever you want. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify, which are all my name, Marcinavelli.
And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You will find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton, the Rockstar Advocate, Buck Naked Soul Company, and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes, so please check them out because they keep this show alive.
And if you want to be one of those awesome people, you can support the show at patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic.
Now, in like the 100 plus episodes we've done, I'm always the one to kind of be like, thanks so much for coming on the show. And as much as I love you, Ross has known you so much longer. So Ross, I think you should be the one today to send her off and end this interview. I feel that that would be right.
Okay. Well, my heart is also going to go on here. really, thank you so much for coming on. I guess I've listened to you since probably around 2004, 2005. So it's really cool to finally to, you know, to chat.
Thanks.
Everyone should definitely check out the new single. You find the video on YouTube. The album is out, I believe, the 23rd of September.
That's right. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, September 23rd.
And you're touring US, Canada. Am I right?
We're doing US, Canada, going to China, and then we'll head to Europe late November. We're setting it up now.
Give me a shout when you're in Europe.
We get backstage passes, right?
Forever.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
In all seriousness, I'm so grateful I've been introduced to your music as well as you. You're a very, very sincere, honest person, and that's what we love to see. We love to see that. So, thank you.
This was a pleasure. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.